from New Hampshire. Back in my early 20s, I lived about 30 minutes outside Manchester. I had a girlfriend of 2 years that I had just broken up with. It was a strange time in my life, the kind where you're sort of wandering, figuring things out, maybe looking for meaning without realizing it. My grandmother was extremely religious and would attend liturgy, well, religiously, no pun intended. After my grandfather passed away, I started going to church with her every Sunday. I tagged along, partly to support her, and partly because I felt like maybe I needed a bit of grounding myself. My grandfather had been a decorated veteran, well-known and respected in our community, and losing him left a huge hole in her life. Even though she was grieving, her faith was unshaken. She'd tell me that she knew he was finally reunited with the Lord, and I could see how much comfort that gave her. I admired it, honestly. Faith like that, the kind that brings real peace, is rare. I think it's something that people search for their whole lives, even if they can't always put it into words. One Sunday after the service, I met this girl. This whole thing still feels like a fever dream. I'd never seen her around before, which was unusual since our community was close-knit, especially at church. She was striking, with dark, curly hair and deep hazel eyes. I waited for the service to be over and approached her. Part of me was just attracted to her, but there was another part of me that was just curious about seeing someone new there, especially someone that looked around my age. We started talking, and the spark was definitely there. I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about, where you just meet someone and immediately feel a connection. Her name was Kaylee, and she had a kind of quiet, mysterious charm, and I found myself drawn in. I kept trying to ask her specific questions about her past, like family and home life, but she would crack jokes and tell me I'd have to take her out for those answers. I actually really enjoyed the banter. After a little playful nagging, she told me that her family recently moved to the area and she went to college nearby, which explained why I had never seen her before. By the time we wrapped up, I managed to get her number, and I was kind of riding the high of meeting someone new. Over the next week, we texted pretty frequently and exchanged social media. I remember scrolling through her Instagram at one point, surprised that she had so few followers. I preferred that though. The last thing anyone wants is to fall in love with someone that the whole world knows. We talked about a lot of things, and she eventually opened up more about her family. I don't want to say too much, but her situation wasn't great. Her stepfather was a nasty alcoholic and frequently mistreated both her and her mother. Her biological father was substantially worse, though. She wouldn't give me specific details, but apparently, they had to move to get away from him. She transferred schools and everything, leaving everyone and everything she had known behind. I didn't want to overstep and ask her about her father. I was just glad she was opening up to me. As much as I loved the calculated mystique, it was nice to get to know her on a more personal level. I neglected to coordinate a date with her just yet because I figured I'd see her at church. The following Sunday, she was there again. I took it as a sign and asked her on a date after the service. She didn't hesitate. She just smiled and said yes, and we made plans to meet up later that week. I spent the rest of the week thinking about her, nervous about our first date. When the night finally came, we kept things simple. We saw a movie and grabbed a bite to eat, nothing fancy. Just an easy night where we can talk and get to know each other even more. I honestly thought it was going really well. She was a great listener and she seemed genuinely interested, which was refreshing. I didn't want the night to end just yet, so after dinner, I suggested going for a little drive, thinking it'd give us a chance to keep talking without the noise of a restaurant around us. So we hit the highway, driving out of town a bit. We were driving along one of those roads that was technically a highway, but looked more like a normal two-lane road. It was windy, and there were trees on either side of it. Everything was perfect. It's crazy how things can change in an instant. What I'm about to describe to you is something I will never be able to purge from my mind. Out of nowhere, she started speaking, but it wasn't in English. Her words were fast, mumbled, and sounded like French or something close to it. At first, I thought she was maybe joking or testing me, but then I noticed her eyes. They'd rolled back, leaving only the whites. I swerved the car and almost crashed into the barrier. My heart started pounding because it looked like she was in some kind of trance or having a seizure. I got a hold of myself and pulled over to the shoulder, trying to stay calm. At that point, I was internally panicking. I fumbled for my phone and called for an ambulance, not knowing what to say other than I thought she was having a seizure. As I waited, I kept checking on her, unsure if she even knew where she was. She was still talking and her head seemed to be vibrating. I didn't know what the hell to do. I didn't want to touch her, but I felt like I had to do something. I had never been more terrified in my entire life. Then, just as suddenly as it had started, it was over. She snapped her head to look at me and shut her mouth. She blinked, with her eyes going back to normal, and she gave me this wild, wide-eyed expression. I will never forget that look as long as I live. Before I could say a word, she threw open the car door and literally sprinted full speed into the woods. I'll say that again, she literally ran into the woods. I was trying to make sense of what just happened, but I just couldn't move. My head was spinning, and I'm pretty sure my hands were still trembling. I sat in that position until the cops and paramedics showed up. I told them everything, even though it sounded insane. Every detail about the way her eyes looked and how she'd run off. They nodded and took my statement, assuring me that they'd try their best to find her. I must have looked insane, but they took me seriously enough. After that night, though, she was gone. I never saw her again. I looked for her at church, but she never showed up. Her Instagram was deleted, and she had apparently blocked my number. It was worse than that. I got a friend to text her number, and it apparently had been erased. No amount of internet stalking ever turned anything up. I even asked people at the church if they knew her, but no one did. I don't know what happened to her, and I'm not sure I'll ever know. I don't live there anymore, and my memory of home is kind of messed up because of this incident. My family has this beat-up 2012 Volvo that is quite literally on its last legs. I don't know what it is, but the thing refuses to quit. It's had a million problems, but still runs. The thing has a laundry list of issues. Brakes that feel soft, a temperamental engine, and half the electronics barely work. My parents are basically waiting for it to break down for good so that they'll have an excuse to get a new car. Unfortunately, I'm the one stuck driving it. In addition to the myriad of other issues it's suffering from, the windshield wipers don't work at all, so driving in the rain is a death sentence. Even a little drizzle is enough to completely obstruct the driver's view. Everyone knows Nevada is the driest state, though, so rain typically isn't a concern where I live. I remember elementary school teachers always making a big deal about that fact for some reason. Anyway, this was back in the summer a couple years ago. I was on my way back from a solo trip to visit my friend Calvin a few states over, one of those friends I hadn't seen in years. I love driving, so I figured I'd make an adventure out of it, just driving alone through the stretches of the empty desert. The drive there was great. I stayed a few nights at his place, and we did a lot of drinking. It was a great time, and I was glad I made the effort. The majority of the drive back was a piece of cake, but that didn't last long. As I crossed into Nevada, a storm hit. Not just a sprinkle or some light rain, an actual thunderstorm, complete with lightning and torrents of rain. I later realized that it was one of the heaviest rainfalls we'd seen in years. I'd driven through rain before, but nothing like this. It didn't really make much of a difference. With the current state of my windshield wipers, any amount of rain would force me to pull over. So, reluctantly, that's what I did. I pulled off the highway and parked a considerable distance into the desert, just in case a truck or something didn't see me. I figured I had no choice but to wait it out, maybe try to get some sleep in the car. I debated calling the police for assistance with the wipers, but money was tight and I wanted to avoid a ticket at all costs. If not the wipers, they'd definitely get me on something else. I wasn't about to ask my 65-year-old parents to drive 3.5 hours to rescue me either. So sitting and waiting was my only move. I was on my own, alone on the side of the road during a thunderstorm in the middle of the desert. Not a single car passed me for a full hour, and the storm didn't even let up a smidge. I think being alone in the desert started messing with my head, because after about another hour, I got this unsettling feeling. I'm not sure what it was, but I got this unexplainable urge to move the car. It was still pouring, so I obviously couldn't do that safely. I found myself nervously looking out each of the car's windows as if there were something out there. There obviously wasn't. All I could see was miles and miles of endless rocks and desert. The sun was just about to be setting, though, which would soon cast my surroundings in darkness. I hadn't expected the storm to persist this long, so the reality of having to spend the night out in the desert hadn't even occurred to me. I fully admit that the thought of not being able to see what was out there spooked me. I don't exactly scare easily, but I had heard enough desert stories to be understandably cautious. As if my thoughts were being read, the storm began to subside a bit. I took that as a sign that I'd be able to get back on the road soon, which was a relief. The sun started to set, casting that strange, muted twilight across the desert. Under different circumstances, I would have admired the beauty of it. The damn rain wasn't stopping, though, so I had no choice but to stay put. I tried to concentrate on the lightning in the distance, thinking maybe that would ease my mind. I don't remember how much longer I waited, but eventually the sun set completely. At that point, I decided waiting was wasting valuable energy, and I'd be better off trying to get some shut-eye. Just as I was about to close my eyes, I saw flashes in the distance. It wasn't lightning this time, just bright, sharp bursts of white light darting through the darkness. They seemed to jump around like they were coming from multiple places. It was creepy as hell. I watched them for a few more minutes before realizing that they were getting closer. They were literally approaching me. I could feel my palms starting to sweat. I don't know what came over me, but instinct kicked in, and I made a split-second decision to get out of the car and hide. I grabbed my phone, scrambled out, and ran to hide behind the nearest rock formation. It was still raining, but I didn't care. I could feel my heart beating rapidly, and I prayed that the sound of the rain would conceal my breathing. Crouching low, I peeked around the edge, watching my car from a distance. After a few minutes, I realized what the flashes were. Flashlights. I saw three figures moving through the distance toward my car, each equipped with a flashlight. They were flinging their beams around wildly, as if dancing or stumbling or something. It was abnormal, I'm telling you. They circled my car, inspecting it, as if they were looking for something or someone. I'm telling you, though, the way they wielded their flashlights, it was like they were on something. I squinted, trying to make out details, but it was too dark to see much. Without warning, one of them fired a gunshot at the sky. I jumped, completely caught off guard, and I bit down on my lip so hard I broke the skin. Every instinct told me to stay as still as possible, to make myself invisible behind the rocks. For what felt like forever, I stayed frozen in place, not daring to peek behind the rock. Eventually, the curiosity was unbearable. Slowly, I peered behind the rock again, and I felt my stomach drop. It was pitch black, no flashlights. I waited, not sure where those people had gone. And then, just like that, the lights were back, flickering around my car again, like they were taunting me. I knew I couldn't stay there all night. My hands shook as I pulled out my phone, fumbling to dial 911. I whispered into the phone, trying to explain what was happening, with my voice barely audible. The operator said they'd send someone, and I put the phone down, feeling both relieved and terrified. After what felt like an eternity, I finally saw the faint glow of police lights in the distance. The second the lights started flashing, the three figures turned and bolted, disappearing into the darkness. By the time the cop actually pulled up next to my car, they were long gone. I ran through the rain, waving my arms, grateful that I had been saved. The officer listened as I told him everything. He didn't seem particularly shocked, which somehow made all of it feel worse. He did have the courtesy of waiting out the storm with me and not towing my vehicle, which I guess I could say was a good thing. I think about this often, and I haven't done a road trip since. What I'm about to tell you is the strangest experience I've ever lived through. My name is Mary. My friend Carol and I were driving from Florida to New Jersey a few months back. We were coming back from visiting a few friends who went to school down there. It was a really fun time, but Carol and I had to get on with our lives. The drive was supposed to be fun, a little road trip, just us two, with a bunch of snacks, music, and time to catch up on all the things we hadn't talked about in ages. In hindsight, probably would have been a better idea to stay one more night at our friend's place, but I wanted to get home. We were planning to do the whole drive in one shot. We drove through the night and into the next morning. A few hours after the sun came up, my back started to ache from sitting in the same position for so long. I told Carol we should pull over somewhere for a break, grab some gas, and maybe find something to eat before we get back on the road. We drove past a few more exits before ultimately getting off at what claimed to be a lively, touristy town. For the life of me, I can't remember what the actual name of the town was. It was one of those places that you'd expect to be a tourist stop, with signs pointing to attractions and promises of unique shops or local history. But even as we pulled in, I felt something was off. The streets were empty, and the buildings looked like they'd seen better days. A little too worn down for a place supposedly catering to visitors. It's hard to explain the feeling, but it was the kind of place where you could sense something was wrong without actually knowing what. I'm sure everyone kind of knows what I'm talking about, but you ever driven through one of those ghost towns where all the shop signs are still up but everything is clearly abandoned? Yeah, that's what it felt like. Only it was weirder, since things weren't actually abandoned, they just looked that way. It wasn't your typical haunted kind of vibe, but strange enough that it's been on my mind ever since. The first stop was the convenience store. We actually had to drive for a decent while before entering the heart of the town, or whatever you'd call it. We pulled in to stretch and grab some refreshments. The two of us headed inside. It looked pretty normal in there, actually. Carol was looking for a specific drink she wanted, but quickly grew frustrated when she realized they didn't have it. She's a bit of a drama queen, so I indulged her tantrum and agreed to go somewhere else. I still wanted to get my Gatorade, though, so I walked up to the counter with it to pay. The cashier was a woman about 30 or 35 if I had to guess. She had dark brown hair and was on the taller side. Again, all very normal. The only reason I remembered her features was because she was wearing suspenders, which I wasn't used to seeing. I paid for my drink and we left. Carol pointed to another convenience store across the street, so we figured we'd give it a shot. When we walked into the second store, I literally felt my stomach drop. The cashier behind the counter looked exactly like the girl who'd been working at the first place. Same hair, same face, same height, same everything. I froze, staring at her. I could tell I was making her uncomfortable. Eventually, I asked her if she had a twin or a sister or something. She gave me a weird look, almost skeptical, and said she didn't have a twin and that she was an only child. She narrowed her eyes and told me that was a strange thing to ask, which I guess it was. I tried to explain myself, but she didn't say anything after that. I felt this weird sense of deja vu and backed out of the store, dragging Carol along with me. Carol was confused, but I explained myself and asked if she noticed the same thing. She said she didn't remember what the other cashier looked like, and that I was probably just tired from driving for so long. I knew what I saw, though, and told her I'd prove it. We ran back to the first convenience store, but when we got there, the girl inside looked nothing like who I remembered seeing. She was a completely different person. She was short, with light hair, and looked middle-aged. There's absolutely no chance anyone could have confused her for the other cashier. She didn't even look like she was in the same age range. It was as if I'd imagined the whole thing. Carol told me to just forget about it, and that I was tired, but I insisted that I wasn't imagining things. Eventually, I had no choice but to let it go. I was eager to get out of there, but we needed gas. We pulled into the first gas station we saw, which was void of people. It was completely empty, just our car, the pumps, and a small building at the back where you would pay. We were literally the only car in the entire lot. The two of us walked inside. Carol took her sweet time looking for her drink, but of course, it wasn't there either. I paid, waited for her, and we left. We couldn't have been in there for more than a few seconds. As we walked out, I again felt a weird feeling in my gut. What had not 2 seconds ago been a completely empty gas station was now packed to the brim. The place was overflowing with people. It was the strangest thing. Cars filled every single pump, and there were even some lined up as if we'd wandered into rush hour at the busiest station in the state. All the parking spots in the back lot were full too. To make matters worse, it felt like everyone was eyeing us down as we walked to our car. I don't think I've ever felt more uncomfortable by people staring at me. This time, Carol agreed that something bizarre was going on. I could tell that both of us felt the same eerie suspicion. It was like we'd left reality for a second, and when we came back, something had shifted. We decided to say screw it on the food and just find our way back to the highway. I didn't have much of an appetite at that point anyway. Back on the road, we didn't say much for a while. I wasn't scared, but I just had a bad feeling in my gut. I'm not sure how to even explain it. As we got slightly further away, Carol and I talked about how weird that had just been. As we were talking, a car passed us, a Toyota Sienna with a cracked windshield. I remember it distinctly because the windshield had this big spiderweb crack running through it, and the side was scratched up pretty bad. It was kind of hard to miss. Carol made a joke about it, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Just as we were starting to loosen up, everything came crashing down again. About 10 minutes later, the exact same minivan passed us again. We were both 100% sure of it. Again, it was impossible to miss with this massive crack in the windshield. How was that even possible, though? We had been driving in a straight line at a pretty fast clip. There's no way it could have gotten ahead of us. But the odds of passing two different Siennas with identical cracks in the windshield were insanely slim. Carol started saying, "Oh my God," over and over again, and I could tell she was on the verge of a panic attack. She told me to speed up, which I did. I was dying inside, but I had to keep it together as the driver, and for Carol's sake. I wanted nothing more than to get back on the highway and leave that place behind forever. I glanced down at the GPS and saw that an hour had somehow passed since we had left the gas station, which was virtually impossible. I wanted to tell Carol about it, but I didn't know if she could take any more weird stuff. My heart was in my throat, but I just kept driving. Part of me wondered if the GPS was going to start taking us in circles. We finally got back on the highway, and the nightmare ended there. By the time we got home, however many hours later, it felt like we were waking up from some strange, disjointed dream. I'm not kidding, that whole experience still feels like a dream when I think back to it. People usually look at me strangely when I tell them this story. I still can't explain what happened there, and I don't expect any kind of explanation. I've tried doing research online about weird occurrences in places like that, and I've actually found a handful of stories that are similar to mine. The weirdest thing about it was the feeling in my gut that I still have trouble describing. Until that point, I really didn't know what it meant to get a bad vibe from something. It's like every bone in your body is begging you to notice that something's wrong. I never want to get that feeling again.